Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
It's podcast time once again, our 21st year of doing this. Mike Kapler here, Joel Brzezicki there. Thanks for telling a friend about us too. Yes, you can find us on a lot of podcast platforms. If you want to go back into the archives, you'll probably find some on those podcast platforms, but you can go way back if you want to on our sort of our flagship website of growingingrace.org.
Yeah, I felt like a little school kid the other day. I mentioned to someone on a Facebook podcast forum that we've been something about we've been doing our podcast for 20 and a half years. So I had to add the half in there. You know, it's like I'm when you get to a certain age, you stop bringing up the half. And I just, for whatever reason, it popped in my mind that it had been a half year plus. So yeah. Somebody asked on a podcast forum, is your podcast profitable? and basically my whole thing was that, yeah, we're not doing this for that reason.
Yeah, it's interesting that somebody would ask that, though.
Yeah, and it was a Christian podcast forum, not just a general podcast, because I know a lot of people get into podcasting to make money.
Sure.
And advertising, and so forth, and that's definitely a really great thing if a person can make that work. These days, I mean, there's lots of different ways for a person to make a living with using the internet and all kinds of things. But obviously, as we talked about, we're not doing this for that. We just try to encourage people. But it doesn't really even matter how long we've been doing it. It's just been fun. And we were talking last week about, what were we talking? Oh, yeah, spiritual blessings. My mind is focused on my cat is outside, my wife and daughter, and I can look up and I can see my window well, and it's full of water from rain from a few days ago. It takes a few days for that to evaporate for some reason. The cat keeps going over there to drink, and I'm like, tell the cat not to drink that water. But we were talking about spiritual blessings and blessings in general, and God right. testing people. And it's like people trying to earn God's blessings, trying to earn fellowship with Him, trying to earn righteousness. And you just can't do that, because when it comes to God's righteousness, I mean, that's a pretty high standard, God's righteousness. Have you ever thought about that? Because Paul talks about the gospel. What the gospel reveals is God's righteousness. And in beginning of Romans, then he contrasts that with, you know, the deeds of people. And, I mean, I'm going to just kind of summarize things, but even the best of the best of the best of people's efforts don't come anywhere close to God's righteousness. And so all, apart from Christ, all have been deemed as unrighteous. And it's by grace that we've become righteous. And so if a person thinks that they can do something to earn anything from God, that's self-righteousness, and it comes nowhere close to God's righteousness. And so we were talking about that, and you had brought up some things after we were talking last time, and so we want to continue on this train of thought, talking about, you know, what works can we do to do the work of God anyway? And Jesus had talked about that too.
Yeah, you know, there was a time where we say a lot of the right things. Many years ago, Joel, I probably would have been one of those people who would have said, well, yes, salvation is a gift. It comes by grace through faith. I mean, you say a lot of the right talking points, but the blessings of God, we have to do certain things, say certain things, believe certain things, perform in a certain way to unlock these blessings into our lives. Mm. And last week we kind of talked about how that was really not grace.
Right.
And it brings us to something you've probably heard us talk about before, but you can always look at it from a little bit of a different perspective, right? So in John chapter 6, Jesus had performed some miracles, including feeding thousands of people with a few loaves and a few fishes. And then he went across the sea. And the people who experienced some and witnessed some of that active miracle stuff, people who ate all those fish sandwiches, they woke up the next day and they didn't find Jesus or his disciples, so they figured out he went across the sea, so they got in their boats and went to go to try to find him. And they came over, verse 28, they said, hey, let me back up a little. These people, verse 25, John 6, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, hey, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work or labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Later in this chapter, Jesus will explain more about how he is the bread of life. But then they said to him, what shall we do? What shall we do that we may work the works of God? I think I always had it in my head that the disciples were talking to Jesus about this. I may have referenced that sometimes, I don't know. But we have other people here who came across looking for him, who had witnessed miracles and so now Jesus tells them this, and they so what about us? What should we do that we may work the works of God, like what you do? And Jesus said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. In other words, you know, to paraphrase here a little bit, look, people, this covenant that you've been under for all these years, and the Jewish people, this covenant that required that you hear it and that you do it, and that nobody has ever been able to do, I've got another suggestion here for you. How about to work the work of God, you just believe in him who he sent. Believe in me. How about that? A little different animal here, right? Looking forward to a different covenant. Therefore, they said to him in verse 30, all right, well, okay, so what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? So they're back to getting into works again here, right. But at least they're getting closer, Joel. They're saying, what work will you do?
Right.
You know, our fathers ate manna in the desert, and as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So what work will you do that we may believe? Well, that work was coming, right?
Right.
If they only knew, if they only knew in that moment what was coming. So I find that a little bit comical and kind of interesting. And then Jesus, we go on to talk about being the bread of life, and that he the focus again is on Jesus here as he continues to talk about him, and how they can feed off of him, the bread of life.
Yeah, and I can tell you, I would have had, if I was one of those people, I would have had a hard time focusing on what he was talking about, because it doesn't say there was any tartar sauce involved. And I cannot eat fish without tartar sauce. In fact, I like a little bit of fish with my tartar sauce.
Oh no, that's disgusting.
Oh man, I just
I don't do tartar. Sorry.
Oh, I can't do fish without it. Yeah, we used to have the first or second year that we were in England. When I was 8 years old when we moved there, I was never ever going to eat fish. And we went to a fish and chip shop, and I wasn't going to eat it. And I smelled the stuff. Oh, it smelled good, and it was all it was battered. I thought maybe that's good. And there's put some tartar sauce with it, and I'm this is good. But I digress. And the beautiful, you know, Jesus says here in verse 27, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but," and implied, "labor for the food which endures to everlasting life." And so I think that's one reason why they ask, well, what may we do? What shall we do that we may work the works of God? And the labor involved here, the works, it's so different. And this is one thing about Jesus that people didn't understand. And I think it's still hard for people to understand today, is that that labor is belief, and it's not really a work. It's not really something that you can physically do. He's just saying, and Paul talked about, after I brought this up a lot of times at the end of Romans 9. You know, Paul is saying Israel, the people of Israel, they were pursuing righteousness, and they were doing it by the works of the law, by trying to do the works of the law. They were trying to accomplish righteousness by what they did, by the law. So they were working, trying to get this righteousness, trying to get this eternal life. You know, in chapter 10 of Romans, Paul talks about really the way that that eternal life comes. That's by believing. And so Jesus is telling them, like you said, here's a different way that I'm going to tell you about this different way. Here's you've been doing this law thing, trying to gain right standing with God for, you know, really it had been centuries for the people of Israel. Here's the labor. Here's the work. Just believe. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. That's the simplicity of the gospel. And when you're trying to work and work and work and trying to figure out what works to do, and like we were talking about last week, is God testing me? What's the test? What's God trying to do? What's he trying to get me to do? You get lost in really your own performance, your own works. And Jesus is telling these people and us today as well, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. That's really that simple. It does not get any more difficult than that. that's the gospel. That's the good news. Because he said, you know, believe. When he said, repent and believe the gospel. Repent of what? We talked about this a few weeks ago. Repent of the idea that your works, your law-keeping, is going to gain you access to God. Repent of the idea that your works, your own righteousness or attempts at righteousness, is going to actually make you righteous. And instead, believe. Believe the good news. What's the gospel? What's the good news? It's that you are given these gifts of life, of righteousness, of peace with God, of fellowship with God, of justification, simply by God's grace through faith and not through any actual works that we can do.
Yeah, and, you know, on top of that, I think based on, you know, what we were talking about last week and what we've been talking about today, the biggest problem here is people are getting their covenants tangled up together. It's a covenant clash. It's mixing one with the other. The old, obsolete, outdated, weak and useless covenant that the Jews were under compared to the new covenant established by God the Father through Jesus Christ, which brought us all of these blessings. You know, think back to Deuteronomy 28, for example, under that covenant of law. If you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord, your God, be careful to do all of his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. He's talking to Israel here. And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And then it goes on to talk about some of those blessings. And then, and that's a pretty short segment, by the way.
Right.
As you scroll down in Deuteronomy 28, like in verse 15, if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God or be careful to do all of his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And then it goes on with a much longer list of the curses compared to the blessings. And so, Joel, I think sometimes people kind of look back on some of this stuff and think that somehow it bleeds over into the new covenant, when these two covenants really have nothing to do with each other. The old is not like the new. You know, it's a grace thing, right? It's a yeah. Spirit thing. It's a Jesus thing. And he did everything necessary for us to be positioned properly with him to receive blessings, spiritual or otherwise, through an inheritance, like we mentioned last week. And you can rest easy in that and not have to worry about taking a stress test.
Yeah, and he, just following up on that, the curse, the blessings and the curses, I mean, that was a real thing under the old covenant. I mean, that was real. That was their reality. And like you said, we, for whatever reason, we try to bring this into our lives in Christ, but we can't and we shouldn't, because all of the blessings now, well, let me go with the curses first. Like you said, there was a long, much longer list of curses, and that was the curse of the law. You know, we talk about, Paul talks about the curse of the law in Galatians 3. Well, Jesus became the curse. He became the curse, and he redeemed them from the curse so that there is no more curse. I mean, he became the curse, so how can there be any more curse? Because he became the curse and died, you know, for our sins and everything. And then all of the blessings are in him. They're not in law. They're not in old covenant thinking. They're not in performance. They're not in principles. They're not in works, you know, trying to do anything. The blessings are found in him. The curse is gone. And so, again, it comes down to that simplicity, not only just to receive Christ, but in our daily lives in Christ. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. It's a life of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And sight is a lot of different things, but it involves walking according to the flesh, walking according to what you are supposed to do and not supposed to do. It's walking according to do's and don'ts. That's part of walking by sight. Walking by faith is focusing on, again, like you were saying, it's Jesus. It's really about him, focusing on Jesus and not focusing on self.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.